And we've all looked in mirrors, some more than others. I noticed this week my little girl was preoccupied in the mirror. I don't blame her. I like to look at her too. Man was made to be something like a mirror of God. Far greater, of course, a living, existing mirror. But he was meant to bear the image of God. And that has been badly distorted. Man, we say, has not lost the image entirely, but it is due to the fall, the image is badly mauled and misshapen and distorted. Genesis 5:1, for example, tells us that even after the fall, the image and likeness of God still carried on. Genesis 9:6 also tells us that man is still in the image of God. So does James. But it's a nightmarish disfigurement now. Yet here it is, being created in the image of God, that man finds his value and his identity. It is here that man is separated from the beasts. It is here that he finds his purpose and his humanity. Because it is here, in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, that we find our reason for existence. If man is ever to find himself, as people say, or to be truly fulfilled, he needs to see the image clearly as he was first created. And better than that, he must see his image recreated in Christ, because only in Christ is that image restored. God is restoring that image in Christ for all who believe. But when men see themselves in the image of animals or the image of an ape, they not only disgrace God in whose image they were made, they disgrace themselves. And they never come to know who they are or who they were intended to be. Now, we do not have to read far in the biblical account to encounter the teaching on the image of God. Already in the first chapter of Genesis, we see it in chapter 1, verse 26, and it's repeated also in verse 27. Now, what I hope to do tonight is to just maybe look at the context in which this was written, which Genesis 1:26 was written. Then I want to look at what the original image was. What did it look like? Then touch briefly on the fallen image. And then again, as it is restored in Christ for those who believe. So first of all, the context of the original image. Why focus on this image of God? I mean, this refers to the original image. Man does not exist in the original image. Even Christians, being restored into that image, are not the same as this original image. So why bother to look at it? Well, let me take a moment to remind you that it was written by Moses. Obviously, it was written by the Holy Spirit, by God. But it was written by Moses to the people of Israel. And who were they? And when was that? That was after the fall, wasn't it? They were fallen people. They were sinners long since removed from the creation account or the time of the creation. This has great bearing on fallen man. Their condition, that is the condition of the people coming out of Egypt. And that's what they were. They were coming out of Egypt. They had been in slavery in Egypt for 430 years. Their condition was inextricably linked to Genesis 1:26 and the image of God. And it has bearing on us today then as well, because we are made in the image of God. God wants us to understand something very important. Now, for just in summary, he wants us to know, first of all, who he is. And second of all, he wants us to know who we are. To know where we've fallen from and where we are now. Now, slavery in Egypt was real. And it was a result of the fall. It was not, however, part of the natural created order. Slavery in Egypt could be looked at as a smaller microcosm of a larger problem, sin in the fall. Slavery in Egypt is a microcosm of slavery to sin. And really, slavery of sin resides in each individual heart. Slavery to this sin brought man low. It brought him down from his lofty, exalted position. Servitude, for example, was not part of the fall. Not the image of God. It's interesting, you do hear people sort of condemn Christians that the Bible sort of condones slavery. That's not true at all. Slavery is part of the fall. God doesn't condone slavery. The Scripture talks about slavery because it was a real thing and it happened. But God never condoned it. Harsh taskmasters of Egypt was part of the dominion of man gone awry. They and we have turned to tyrants. We've enslaved and harmed our fellow man who's been made in the image of God. And appeasement to innumerable gods, the worship of images. You know, I was reading, I think it was yesterday, that there were over 114 gods in Egypt. It's exhausting. This is what the people of Israel were dealing with for several hundred years. Worship of God, worship of images, worship of man. See, these are all great and devastating distortions of the created order. And God has to set this right. He has to set His people right. They have to see how things should be. Too long they've been influenced by elementary principles. 430 years of corruption. Can you imagine how that their worship was distorted and corrupted, and how that was passed on to their children? No wonder when they were leaving Egypt, they cried when they had a little bit of trouble and they couldn't find. They wondered where Moses went, and they wanted, remember, to have a concrete image of a God. What did they do? They made a golden calf. You know where they got that from? That was what they learned in Egypt. So God needs to set them right. Needs to reveal to them that they're not made after the image of an oxen or something silly like that. They're made after the image of Almighty God. Now, like any building, if the foundation is wrong, the whole structure is compromised and about to fall, right? And so God brings man, fallen man, man made in His image, back to the foundations to see from where we fell. And so fallen man and Christians must gaze at this mirror of the creation account and see who they are, whose they are, where they are, and where they should be. They are made in the image of God. Now, secondly, I want to look at the original created image. What does this original created image look like? What does it consist of? Of all that could be said of what this image refers to, some things are clear. First of all, it indicates the uniqueness of man. Of no other creature is it said that they are made in the image of God. Animals do not bear the image of God. Genesis 1:26 is actually contrasted with the animals. And how are they made? Not in the image of God. They're made after their own kind. There is a clear contrast. And the Holy Spirit wants us to see that man is unique. Now in Egypt, the worship of animals and creeping things ran the gamut. They elevated all sorts of creatures to the status of gods. Do you remember the plagues? Children, do you remember all those plagues to Egypt? Those were attacks upon the gods of Egypt and what man worshipped. They worshipped frogs. They worshipped bugs. They worshipped the cattle. Remember the hail came and killed the cattle? They worshipped crocodiles and birds and oxen and... Now, usually, you know, it's interesting. Usually, I don't know if you remember the pictures of those cave walls, but usually you'll see a human body with some kind of animal head. They worship this strange mixing of a man and a beast. The Sphinx was a mixture of beast and man. That was the reverse. It was the cat's body and the man's head. Now, this was a perverted distortion of man and God. And when man sees God wrong, he sees himself wrong. And when he sees himself wrong, he sees God wrong. Well, here God shows the uniqueness of man. He is not at all like animals, and man shouldn't think of himself like that. You know, I love animals, but there's a really strange infatuation going on with animals today, isn't there? I mean, they're being exalted to almost human status. I mean, you had better not hurt an animal today. You will be put in prison. There are animal police going around checking on animals. And if you could have more prison time than somebody that kills a man. You hurt an animal. You have animal health care, animal rights, animal care products galore. I don't have an animal. I mean, I have some fish. But I can't imagine what dog food costs today. And that's why I don't think old people are eating dog food, because I think it's probably pretty expensive. Because they can sell it for a lot. But anyways, I'm sorry. You know, matter of fact, did you remember that McDonald's shooting, that shootout? It was local here, wasn't it? And they said a dog got shot. My first thought was, oh boy, I hope a cop did not shoot a dog, because then he's going to really be in trouble. And then I heard later that it was the bad guy that shot the dog. I said, oh, everything's okay. So he'll be okay now. I mean, if a cop had shot him, I don't know what had happened to him. This inability to judge between humans and animals is a sign of a society that is going further away from God. They're forgetting that they were made in God's image. And their minds are becoming more and more darkened. Man is unique. He's different from the animals, very different. He's made in the image of God. Secondly, the image of God strongly implies a relationship. The Godhead, unlike the rest of creation, deliberates over man. Look what it says there in verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." The Trinity counsels and plans, it appears, in a special way over man. It's almost like I've made everything, and now I'm making man. And that's why I made everything for man. I'm getting to the priority. It's like I furnished the house, and now man can live in it. But what I want to say here is that if God deliberates in this Trinitarian relationship, and man is made in His image, then man is made for a relationship. And that relationship is primarily meant to be with God Himself. whose image he was made in. I mean, it is man who carries on complex communication. Animals don't have language skills, do they? You know, I was thinking about my kids when they were little. As I was thinking about the mirror concept here, and I'm pretty sure that when my kids, even when they were really little babies, they looked in a mirror and they recognized themselves. They had a self-awareness. They had a self-consciousness. But animals, you ever seen an animal look at their reflection in a mirror? They don't recognize that as themselves. Dog will start barking at the other dog or start playing or something. A cat may get startled. I mean, I watched one of the kids fish, and I think it was looking at its reflection in the glass, and it was doing these strange gyrations. Animals don't have a self-consciousness. They're not made in the image of God. Man was made to have a complex communication skills right from the beginning, right when he's born. That's not true of animals or plants as much as some very strange people want them to be. Man was made to commune with God. Isn't that amazing? We were made to commune with the living God, to bear His image, to enter into relationship with Him. Now, we see this all through Scripture. We know this all through Scripture, and I think it's strongly implied here in this account. It's also seen elsewhere in Genesis 1 and 2. God speaks with man. You remember during the fall and the temptation, Satan asks, "Did God say that you couldn't eat from any tree in the garden?" And what does Eve answer? "He said such and such." God spoke. They had to have communication. After the fall, they hear the voice of God in the garden. And it's actually portrayed in such a way that I think we're supposed to get the idea that this is not unusual. Man has fallen, so that's unusual. But God's voice in the garden was not. And it also says that He walked in the garden. Now, whether He came as a pre-incarnate Christ, like He did in some place in the Old Testament where angels, the angel of the Lord, or whether it was the Spirit, you know, whether it was fire or whatever, I don't know. But it says He walked in the garden. And that too is portrayed as a normal occurrence. And what I'm just getting at here is there was a relationship. Commands are also given, which implies relationship, doesn't it? Fill the earth, subdue it, name the animals, eat, don't eat. There was a relationship. And I think it's safe to infer that this is possible only because man is made in the image of God. Matter of fact, I think I had a quote, yes. Gerhardus Voss said this: "The presupposition of all knowledge of God is man's having been created in the image of God." Adam and Eve had a relationship with God. They knew Him. And as such, they were God's administrators of this grand creation. And this image is related to man as God's representative on earth. And we see that in verse 28. After it says that He's made in the image and likeness of God, it says, it's still 26. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So He has dominion. He's God's representative. And that's the third thing we observe about the image. He was created to be God's vice regent. God, who previously was seen as naming the creation, in chapter 1 you see that, He names these things. But now in chapter 2, as we look at the creation account gives us a closer look at the creation of man, God takes all these animals in front of Him, and what does Adam do? He names them, right? God gives an authority to man to name the creatures. Man is God's ruler. God gives him a rule, a dominion, a responsibility. Now, let me say this. I do not think the image of God is limited to His rule or dominion. I believe it is because He is created in the image of God that He is able to rule and have dominion as God's representative. He can rule. He can administer God's kingdom, or at least could in this original creation. Now he does in a matter of speaking, but it's corrupted and it's not easy. Animals don't cooperate like they did in the garden. And now man wants to make other men animals and beat them. Well, these are pretty clear from the text of Genesis, I believe. Man's uniqueness, his relationship, and his representation. But the statement in Genesis 1:26 and 7 is general enough, I think, for us to understand it in a fuller sense. And what I mean by that is man was like God in every way he could be like God. I believe man was like God in every way he could be like God. Through the creation account, we see God and we see His attributes displayed: wisdom, power, authority, order, eternality, spirituality, dominion, goodness, etc., etc. Now, where it is possible for man to image or reflect these attributes, he does so. And wouldn't it be necessary for man to bear these qualities if he's to be God's representative, if he's to rule creation? Wouldn't he have to have a measure of those qualities? Of course he would. He would have to have these attributes to represent God. So I say, if you want to know what the image of God is, look at who God is. Man in his original creation imitates God where he can. God is spirit, for example. John chapter 4 says, God is spirit. The image of God must be primarily spiritual, not the body. The body is not the image of God. Now, maybe the fact that we stand upright might say something, because all the other animals do what? They bend down. There was a great quote, I don't have it before me, but it talks about, it was a poem, but it talks about how the animals bend down and look at the earth. That's where they come from, so to speak. Man is erect and looks up. That's where he comes from. Well, what other qualities does God have? He has personality. Man has personality. Animals don't have personality. Not like we do, not in this respect. Knowledge, man has knowledge. And Adam had to have an accurate knowledge. He had maybe not necessarily a full knowledge. I don't know how much knowledge Adam had. He had to know God, his world. He had to have an understanding of his world. He had to know the animals in a certain way to be able to name them. Adam also was moral. Adam and Eve, I mean, both of them were moral and righteous and holy. God doesn't have a relationship with immoral people. Love. So look at the attributes of God. But let me hasten to add this. in some ways, man, even prior to the fall, could never be like God, ever. Man himself was not God. It doesn't say that. It says he was created in the image of God. Man is a derived image, not an essential image. I repeat, he is not God himself. That's one of the distortions that since the fall. Man is created in the image of God. That's an important distinction because it places man in his proper subordinate position. It humbles man. It directs the attention to God in whose image he is made. And that becomes significant during the fall where man breaks the boundary. See, man in the garden was not autonomous. He was not self-governing. He was not independent. He was not subject to his own laws. He was not a free agent. A free agent means that he was self-determining, not responsible to anyone or to any authority. Adam was responsible to God. Adam was as free as you could get apart from glory. And yet, even he was not a free agent. He was still subordinate to God. Well, to understand more concretely and fully what this image of God entailed, we need to look at the New Testament as well. Speaking about the new creation image, the Apostle Paul clues us in on what this original image consisted of. These are important passages to remember, Colossians 3:10 and Ephesians 4:24, because they really fill out what this image looked like. Ephesians 4:23 says this, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." And Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." The new creation image is created in true knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. That's what it says in those passages. Now this corresponds very well with what is found in Genesis. Adam had true knowledge of God. He had a true knowledge of himself and his surroundings. And he had to be righteous to represent a righteous God. Now Ephesians 4:24 and Colossians 3:10 show us that what is essential to this original image was an intellectual and moral aspect. That's what it's saying there. Intellectual and moral aspect. You know, is it any wonder that's why Paul continually talks about the unbeliever and the depravity of his mind? And then what comes from the depravity of the mind is the wickedness of the actions. It's always that way. Man was made with intellect and a moral rectitude. Being made in the likeness of God, he must possess a rational, intelligent mind. He must be morally upright. He was not immoral and he was not neutral. His constitution must bear these qualities if he would have communion with God and dominion over the rest of creation. So, just in summary, Adam reflects God's image. As if God looked in a mirror and he liked what he saw. It looked good. It looked like him. That is amazing. We were made in the image of God. We were a good reflection of God in our created original image. But now things have changed, haven't they? It's become ugly. It's an ugly image. And hardly even looks like God at all. Now, let me briefly say some things about the fallen image. We do not mean by the fallen image that it was totally lost or it was wholly lost, but it was wholly deformed and distorted and defigured and corrupted. You could think of it something like a circus mirror. I don't think the little children understand the circus mirror so much as maybe when we did. That might have even been a little past my time. But the circus mirror, you'd go to the circus. They might have these at the fairs. And they would have this place where you'd go and there was a distorted mirror. And you'd look at that mirror and it would just twist your body, right? And it would stretch you and bend you and make really funny shapes with your head and stuff. That's a little bit like what has happened in this image of God. We still bear the image, but it's barely recognizable. It's so distorted and ugly. You wouldn't want to walk around like that. Well, man's thinking is distorted. His morality is bent. He gropes around vainly in the dark. He turns on all kinds of artificial light because he knows that there's something he should understand. There's something that he should be. There's something that he should do. But he can't grasp it because he's so corrupt. He's so distorted and disfigured in his heart. And so, that's why man creates all kinds of gods in his image. Have you ever wondered why all the gods... Children, have you ever wondered why all the gods of the peoples were such vicious, cruel gods? I mean, you look at the Greek gods, they were worse than the Greeks. They were worse than men. Fallen, misshapen, immoral. It's because man was creating God in his own image. Now, in the fall, someone said, God created man in his own image and man returned the favor. But he didn't do it very well, did he? Distorted, corrupt. Now, man is still unique. He does still bear this image. Now, that's cloudy, the uniqueness. And to be able to see God in man, we can still do it, but it's distorted. He still rules. That's corrupt, sinful, and tyrannical. But the relationship with God was lost altogether. He lost the knowledge of God. He lost morality. He lost the ability to obey God. But here's the good news. What was lost in the garden was restored in Christ for those who believe. This is our last point here. The image of God renewed in the mirror of Christ. You know, ever since the fall, God has been communicating Himself, sort of showing off His image in a sense. He did so in the visible creation, where we see a faint word of Him. Who can look at creation and not see the handiwork of God? He does so in historical events, in His works, miraculous interventions, the blinding Shekinah light, pillars of clouds by day and by night, laws, the prophets, the priests, and the kings, His judgment on the nations. He shows Himself in His attributes: love, forgiveness, mercy, power, justice. He shows Himself in redemption, in plagues, even in death. But you know, never did God show Himself so loudly, so clearly, so personally as when He came in the person of Jesus Christ, in the full and express image of God Himself, as it says in Colossians 1:15 and Hebrews 1:3. The express image of His nature, the image of the invisible God. You know, if you're going to know God, if you're going to be restored into this image, you must know Christ. It is Christ that restores us to this image. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is very interesting. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we by the Spirit of Christ are being transformed into the same image. God is molding us once again into the image of His Son. That's wonderful. Jesus was the supreme and unique man, exalted far above all creation, where we'd veiled it in sin, didn't we? And in the fall. Jesus was the one who was the perfect and had the perfect relationship with the Father, where our relationship with the Father was lost. Jesus was God's perfect representative on earth, administering God's will perfectly and lovingly, and we were failures and tyrants. Jesus displayed the perfect knowledge of God and a perfect moral nature, obeying the Father perfectly where we had failed at every point. And so, if you believe in Jesus, God restores the image, that original created image, He restores it in Christ. It's being restored in Christ. We're being transformed into the image of Christ. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." You know, if man wants to be fully human, he needs to be recreated into the image of Christ. If he's going to attain his realization, he needs to look at his origin, and he needs to look at Christ. Jesus was the image of God. And what we need to do, really, and I hope you'll do this as if whenever you look in a mirror, I hope you'll remember that as we look at Christ, He becomes a mirror of what we are to be and what He can do in us as He restores that image. Look at the mirror of Christ and you'll become what you're supposed to be. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, profound truth. As we look back to the original created image, it strikes our heart, though. It hurts us. We see where we have fallen from. All the bitterness and sadness that has been brought into the world has been caused by sin, and we've lost the image. We've distorted it. It's so ugly. It's so ugly what man has become. But for those who believe in Christ, you promise restoration. You promise recreation into that image. What an amazing hope we have. Thank you so much for Jesus Christ, who began a work in us and will continue to restore us into that perfect image. That image which you will be pleased with again. Do that work in us in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.